prayer for the sick. Chapter 10. Why some are not healed. In the matter of praying for the sick, I have been considering many things that have been presented to me in the past in reference to this subject. Suppose that 20 men and women should present themselves as subjects for prayer at some of our camp meetings. This would not be unlikely, for those who are suffering will do anything in their power to obtain relief and to regain strength and health. Of these 20, few have regarded the light on the subject of purity and health reform. They have neglected to practice right principles in eating and drinking and in taking care of their bodies. And some of those who are married have formed gross habits and indulged in unholy practice. While of those who are unmarried, some have been reckless of health and life, since in clear rays the light has shone upon them. But they have not had respect unto the light, nor have they walked circumspectly. Yet they solicit the prayers of God's people and call for the elders of the church. Should they regain the blessing of health, many of them would pursue the same course of heedless transgression of nature's laws unless enlightened and thoroughly transformed. Sin has brought many of them where they are, to a state of feebleness of mind and debility of body. Shall prayer be offered to the God of heaven for his healing to come upon them then and there, without specifying any conditions? I say, no, decidedly no. What, then, shall be done? Present their cases before him who knows every individual by name. Present these thoughts to the persons who come asking for your prayers. We are human. We cannot read the heart or know the secrets of your life. These are known only to yourself and God. If you now repent of your sin, if any of you can see that in any instance you have walked contrary to the light given you of God and have neglected to give honor to the body, the temple of God, but by wrong habits have degraded the body which is Christ's property, make confession of these things to God. Unless you are wrought upon by the Holy Spirit in special manner to confess your sins of private nature to man, do not breathe them to any soul. Christ is your Redeemer. He will take no advantage of your humiliating confessions. If you have sin of a private character, confess it to Christ, who is the only mediator between God and man. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If you have sinned by withholding from God his own in tithes and offerings, confess your guilt to God and to the church, and heed the injunction that he has given you. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. The Lord doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. He knows our heart, for he reads every secret of the soul. He knows whether or not those for whom petitions are offered would be able to endure the trial and test that would come upon them if they lived. He knows the end from the beginning. Many will be laid away to sleep before the fiery ordeal of the time of trouble shall come upon our world. This is another reason why we should say after our earnest petition, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Such a petition will never be registered in heaven as a faithless prayer. A daily prayer, Our Father, grant my life to be a bright and shining light for thee, a witness to thy loving care to all I meet in daily fare. Help me to speak a word of cheer to those to whom the day seems drear, a word to comfort those who weep, encourage those whose way is steep. May not of self obscure the light, which should be ever burning bright, that all who pass this way may see the Christ life shining out through me. Grant this petition in the name of him who bore my sin and shame, who, on the cross, was crucified that we might all be glorified. Ina White Botsford.